My mother used to talk about how things changed all the time, and she just couldn't understand why. She said, why don't people just leave things alone? She was talking about ATMs. She was talking about credit cards. She didn't like those things. She liked cash. And she never could understand why in the world do they want a direct deposit, my Social Security check. I like going and talking to the cashier. Well, I'm starting to experience a little bit of those types of things. I miss Jay Leno. A little bit different, but there is a point here, okay? Now, for those of you who are thinking, you didn't watch Jay Leno because you go to bed early. No, I watch Jay Leno at least one night a week because he used to have this talking to the people on the street interview type thing. And I got to tell you, I really enjoyed that because there are a lot of people who didn't get the answers right. And I knew a lot of those answers. And it was amazing to me some of the questions that they couldn't answer. Well, Jay Leno's gone and I don't stay up late anymore except to watch Waters World. Anybody know what that is? Yeah. He does kind of the interview on the street. And I was watching that this past weekend, and he was doing these people on the street interviews. Now, of course, the time of year that we're in, he was asking them about Thanksgiving. He was asking them, what does it mean to them? He was asking them, who were the pilgrims? And I won't get into all the answers, because quite honestly, it was pretty pitiful what some of the answers were. He wanted to know where the pilgrims were from. He wanted to know who Columbus was, what year Columbus sailed. It's amazing how some of those things that appear to be ingrained in my brain from when I was in school are no longer obviously taught or not understood anymore. What his home country was, the names of the ships. Where did the pilgrims land? Some of these answers coming automatic to you, probably. Then he talked about New Year's resolutions. And we all understand how that goes. And then, of course, he started asking them about Christmas. Now, it's amazing to me that one time a year people think about Jesus sometimes, and it's having to do with Christmas. And that's the time of year, of course, when a lot of people think it's Jesus' birthday. I don't believe that at all. But it is amazing to me how many people celebrate Christmas. And so he was asking them questions about Christmas. And I was amazed at some of the answers that were given. Who was Jesus? Well, he was a nice man. That was the answer. He was a cool guy. He was a preacher. This next one. I'm going to tell you the answer because it was amazing to me. Where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Therefore, he was an American. Where was he born? He was born in a hospital. And then, of course, what gifts were brought? And by the way, what gifts were brought was the most accurate answers that were given. They may not have necessarily gotten all three, but that was the most accurate one given. Now, there's no doubt in the answers that were given that God's message about His Son, the good news of Jesus Christ, needs to be delivered. People just don't know it. Who's going to do that? God needs a messenger. And you know, God needs a messenger a lot of times. And go back to the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 6, where we can see that God at this particular point in time was looking for a messenger. And we won't go through the story, but we know here that this is Isaiah's vision and a conversation with God, and we have here the seraphims, and a seraphim actually brought a live coal and put it on Isaiah's lips, not to burn him, but to heal him. But the question is asked in verse 8, where it says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. And so my question today is, what's your answer? Who is going to take the message of the gospel? Who's going to take the good news out to those that need to hear it? Isaiah stepped forward. He was to become the God's messenger. Then I would suggest to you that we all are charged with being God's messenger now. When was the last time that you discussed salvation with someone who was lost? We all talk about how many people are dying every day in China, in India, and in the Philippines without the gospel. And so we say, well, here, send somebody. And we do, and it's a great work. And I don't want to belittle that at all, because it is essential. But I suggest to you that even in this little piece of paper called the pantograph, these people all died last week without the gospel. There's an effort that we need to put in this area right now. God needs a messenger right here. What are we doing to make sure that those in our area are not dying without Christ? Are we really involved in this the way the Lord wants us to be? So for just a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about evangelizing. And there's going to be three questions that I'll pose to you. The first is, who is to evangelize? Who is charged with evangelizing? The second is, who are we to evangelize? And the third, with what are we to evangelize? I would suggest to you, a lot of noise coming out of here. I would suggest to you that those who are to evangelize are those that know God's Word. Those that are not a stranger to God's Word. And one example of this we can find in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. And you know, of course, I'm going to talk about Paul. And in the verses that we're going to read, we see where Paul felt that he was a debtor with the gospel. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I propose to come unto you that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles, because I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Are we any different? Aren't we debtors? Because we have received the good news. Therefore, we need to share it. He felt compelled. He absolutely felt compelled to preach it to all men, to give it to others because of the good news that it has. And I would suggest to you that we have no less obligation. Why would our obligation be any less than that of Paul, who received the same thing that we have? I would suggest to you that there's two definite things that are involved with our sharing the gospel of Christ. The first is ability. A lot of us think that we have to have an absolute memorization of every verse of every book in the Bible. You don't need that. You need to just be able to turn to it. You need to be able to share. You can even quote and then look it up. It takes very little to be able to sit down with those, by the way, that can't answer the questions about what the gospel is about. But I think that the more serious problem is the opportunity. We talked a little bit about Wednesday night about split decision making and how sometimes we are in a split decision and we don't take the opportunity to make the right decision. We talked about Aaron when they approached him about making the molten calf, where he could have stopped all that if he had just said, no, we're not going to do this. So when you find yourself in a situation, whether it's at work or in a restaurant or with your neighbors, when there's an opportunity to bring up the gospel, what decision do you and I make? Have you ever failed to take advantage of one of those opportunities? I have. I still regret it. Now, I can tell you without a doubt, having shared this with Lana, that I missed an opportunity with someone that I saw, I go to Hardee's about every morning. Well, I had started a conversation with an older gentleman there at Hardee's about a year ago about going to Alaska. And he shared some magazines with me and brought all these magazines and a milepost book that he had had when he took his trip. And we were going to share that when I got back. When I got back, he'd passed away. I missed the opportunity. Why didn't I immediately start talking to him about the gospel? We talked about Alaska. We talked about permafrost. We talked about all the museums. I never brought up Jesus to him. I regret that. I think he'd have been receptive to it because he was a common thinker. And anybody that hears the truth that's a common thinker is going to hear it and understand the value of it and take it. I think we need to feel compelled to preach and tell, and we have no less obligation than Paul. You know, in Matthew 28... It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Who's that talking to? My father-in-law used to say, well, wherever it says go ye, that means go me. I think that's talking to all of us that can read and understand that. But who is an evangelist? I would suggest to you that everyone that are Christians and understand are commanded to teach. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. We see here Paul in his charge to Timothy says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. And of course, then we could go to Acts 8 and verse 4, where after the stoning of Stephen, It says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So all of those that were scattered abroad took the gospel news with them, even in those circumstances. And just after that, we see the example of Philip, who of course went to Samaria and was preaching the gospel. So who's to evangelize? Well, for sure, everybody in this room. Not only through your word, but through your actions. So number two, who are we to evangelize? Jesus said, go into all the world. And we do that. Aren't the neighborhoods here in Bloomington normal areas? Part of the world? It's part of all the world. You know, I travel to go take the gospel, and I enjoy that, and I think it's absolutely necessary. And so I don't mean to say that that's not necessary, but we can't forget about what's going on right here. The people that you and I see every day, the people that I see in the neighborhood, people we come in contact with need the gospel as much as anybody, and they are part of all of the world. Now, we've got to be a little careful about saying, well, you know, there's just no interest. I don't know where that disqualifies our effort. I can't find a scripture that says you don't keep trying. We talked Wednesday night a little bit about how the people chided Moses or went against him. Well, remember, when they decline to study with you or they decline the gospel, it's not you. They're declining the God of heaven. And so while I think it is great to send the gospel news everywhere and elsewhere, we cannot neglect our own kinsmen, our neighbors right here. I don't think that we satisfy the demands of the Great Commission by saying, here's my check, send him. A lot of good work going on over there. Friday night, Ed communicated that there were 5 baptisms. Saw a picture this morning of him meeting with the brethren there, and I do think that's an essential work, so please don't take that the wrong way. But our doing that does not alleviate what we need to be doing here. Well, with what are we to evangelize? Now, you may think that's a silly question. I don't think so. I learned a long time ago, and was taught a long time ago, to keep it simple. And the gospel is pretty simple if you'll keep it simple, if you'll just say what Jesus said. And sadly, not everyone is preaching Christ's gospel. Look in Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's how simple it is. Take your Bible and just study it and share it with others. There's a lot of Christians today who are more concerned with current events than with the gospel message. And now here's what I mean about that. Are we worried about being politically correct? Just because society around us is eroding doesn't mean that we can compromise the truth that God has put forward to us. There are attacks on Christians every day. Everywhere you go, there are attacks on Christians. Does that slow us down? I was even a little disappointed to find out that one of my favorite authors was putting down Christianity, particularly the Church of Christ, as our group is known. John Grisham. Anybody in here read Grisham besides me? You know, in his research on one of the books that he was going to write, The Last Juror, he actually visited with a lot of churches, of denominational churches, and he visited with the Churches of Christ. And his comments about the Church of Christ was that it was devoid of emotion. Boy, that's not been my experience. But he said it was devoid of emotion. That they have no instrumental music in their worship. And that they think they're the only ones going to heaven. Now, I've heard that argument for a long time. And I got to tell you how I feel about that particular one. I do want to go to heaven. My goal is to go to heaven. I need to be with the group that I think is going to go with me to heaven. Otherwise, why would I be here? Why would I go somewhere and study and worship in a way that wouldn't get me to heaven? Of course I think we're going to heaven. And I think that we have an obligation to teach the gospel and to share it and share the truth with those around us. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. In other words, as I used to hear it preached in the South, you preach the truth when it's good or when it ain't so good. When people want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. Because that's exactly the message that we need to be putting out there. We cannot satisfy the demands of God with, here's our check, let them do it. Here's our check, send them. Now, these 3 points are meant to make you think, and I hope that it has. And the good news here, too, besides us having the gospel, is that we can fix whatever problems there have been in the efficiency of us preaching the gospel. We can fix it. I'm a big believer in that Nike commercial. Just do it. Stop what you're not doing and just do it. And number two, by all of us being as involved as we can possibly be in the Lord's work, we can spread the gospel of His beloved Son in Bloomington Normal so that our neighbors and kinsmen will know the truth.